Hey everybody, welcome again to BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy. Let's start the show with a track from an RPG that maybe wasn't the best, but certainly had its charm and advantages, and music was definitely one of them. And that, my friends, was Heaven Ruins from Evolution, The World of the Sacred Device. And the composer of that was Masahara Iwata. Now, Iwata has had a long career making music for countless different video games, including Final Fantasy VII and a few others. But open, as you can tell, that was quite a beautiful tune. And if sometimes I get criticized, well, I haven't really, but sometimes people have said that maybe I play tracks a little too long. And while I do admit that, in the original game, playing that game, I could be listening for that tune repeating for a couple of hours. Well, maybe not a couple of hours, and it would be broken up by random battles. But with Evolution, the World of the Sacred Device, you certainly heard a given background theme for a long period of time. It's a game basically where you're a guy called Mag, and essentially you're on your own and a single house. Your parents have left for reasons I can't remember, and all you have to look after you is your butler, who keeps a stiff upper lip and constantly makes wisecracks at your expense. You've also got this innocent girl friend who is a girl, and also there are a few other little characters, some of which who have a weird reactions to you. And the basic gist is that you are hugely in debt, and you have to go adventuring through all these ruins in order to make money back, and at the meantime there seems to be an evil military organization after you. Such is life. It's a fun game, although, well, actually not really. There's a huge amount of battles in it. All of the dungeons are randomly generated, so you've got all these random corridors and all these enemies you fight, and it gets very repetitive. But what story there is and what charm there is, you really like, and a lot of the special attacks do all these great over-the-top outrageous stuff, like the butler suddenly becoming a gigantic, suddenly like having this gigantic giant-sized version of himself that attacks the enemies and all this sort of stuff. I mean, that's most of the game is just walking around a corridor, hitting into an enemy, hopefully from behind, and then having a turn-based battle where you select your best attacks to defeat them and everything and get through them. And that keeps going on for quite a long time with either the battle music playing in the background or the nice atmospheric music like that playing in the background. And in the end, you get through it, there's some plot using an evil thing, using some evil corporation, you go around, and just pretty much the best things about the game are just the music and the bit of character interaction you have here and there. So, everything's bright and colourful, and the main town is nice and humorous, and you get to talk to a few different characters, including, I remember there was one character you talked to, was always very poignant, because she was an old woman who just seemed, her mind seemed to be in a different time, but it was a great game, and in its own way. And for me, it has charm anyway. All right. Moving on to our next thing. I'm actually doing something that I've done before. You'll recall a few episodes ago, I was playing Zork as doing an online playthrough. Well, I've managed to find a different text adventure game that's actually a lot shorter. So I'm going to try to get through the entire game just in the space of this show. Let's see if I can get this. Let's see if I can do it. As I've said before, text adventure games are games that are composed entirely of text and you control entirely using text. This one is 905 by Adam Cadre. It was released in 2000, which is quite a while after the 80s, where text adventures were most popular. But as I've said, there was a huge resurgence in their popularity and a lot of independent text adventures were made and distributed online freely, of which this is one of them. Let's begin. The phone rings. Oh no, how long have you been asleep? Sure, it was a tough night, but this is bad. This is very bad. The phone rings. 905 by Adam Cadre, version 1.11. Original released 2000. Bedroom, in bed. The bedroom is extremely sparse, with dirty laundry scattered haphazardly all over the floor. Cleaner clothing can be found on the dresser. A bathroom lies to the south, while a door to the east leads to the living room. At the end of the on the end table are a phone, a wallet, and some keys. The phone rings. Okay, pick it up. Pick up phone. You pick up the phone. Hadley, a shrill voice cries. Hadley, have you even left yet? You knew that our presentation was at 9 o'clock sharp. The first thing with the printers, now this. There won't even enough left of you for Foeman to fire you once he's done with you. Get the hell down here. Click. Okay, maybe I can phone back. Pick up phone. It isn't ringing anymore. Okay, phone guy. Verb error. Okay, never mind. All right, so I better get out of bed. Get out of bed. You get out of bed. Shower. South, into the bathroom. Bathroom. This is far from the luxurious but still quite functional bathroom with sink, toilet, and shower. The bedroom lies to the north. Okay, take shower. It is generally a good idea to take off one's clothes before showering. Okay, take off clothes. You take off the soiled clothing. Okay, enter shower. You don't think the watch you're wearing is waterproof, huh? Okay, X watch. It's a whole thing. You type X instead of exam, but X watch. It is now Apparently, it's now 9:12. Okay, wait a sec. X watch. Apparently, it's now 9:13. X watch. 9:14. Okay. It think time is progressing. So take off watch. Take shower. Carrying your possessions into. Okay. Drop all. Carrying your possessions into a shower is a bad idea. Soiled clothing dropped. Gold watch dropped. Take shower. Okay. Now and there I take shower. You step into the shower, turn on the water, and within a few moments you feel like a new man. But no time to dawdle. You hop back out again and dry off in record time. Okay, take watch. Taken. X watch. Okay, it's 9:25. This is taking... time is progressing very, very quickly here. Wear watch. Put on gold watch. North. Okay, open dresser. Take clean clothing. Wear. Taken. You open the dresser, revealing some clean clothing. Good. Wear clean clothing. You put on clean clothing. Okay, so take all from laundry, dirty floor. You're wearing your clean clothes. Why put on dirty ones? Okay, take wallet. Taken. Okay, take keys. Taken. Open wallet. You open the wallet, revealing driver's license and ID card. X license. Brian Hadley, 315 Avendia Victoria, East Las Mesas, DO 88827. Driver's license photos are generally far from flattering, and this one is no exception. But this photo looks a lot better than you look now. Okay, XID. The shape and size of a credit card. This bears a magnetic strip on the back and some identification on the front. Brian Hadley, Longent Technologies, 215 Collins Street, Las Mesas, DO 88701. Okay, so east. Let's leave. Living room. The furniture isn't as carefully arranged as one might like, and it's a bit lacking in the luxuries that might make it a more pleasant place to spend an evening. No stereo, no TV, no DVD, none of that. But this living room is still nicer than most of those in the neighbourhood. A kitchenette lies to the east, the bedroom to the west, and the front door to the south. Okay. Okay. It's still work. There's still time to grab something to eat, hopefully. Eat. You don't really have time... Kitchenette. You don't really have time to poke around and cook yourself a fabulous breakfast right now. Best to keep your time here limited. The exit is to the west. On the counter are a toaster and a Pop-Tart. Take tart. Taken. Put tart in toaster. The Pop-Tart is now nicely browned and piping hot. You wait a moment for it to cool and remove it from the toaster. Okay, eat tart. Normally I'd burn my lips if this happened in real life, but it's telling me it's cooled, so yeah. It's not Sunday brunch at La Trobe Cher, but it'll do. Okay, okay, I'm ready for this. West, back into the living room. Furniture isn't carefully arranged one might like. That doesn't mind. Let's go south. Front door is to the south. South. Front door is closed. Unlock front door. The locking mechanism seems to be broken. Okay, okay. Open front door. You open the front door. South. Driveway. This is a quite seedy neighbourhood, but there isn't really anywhere in the whole Las Meras metro area that isn't at least a little run down. Of course, the locals may complain about the ugliness and the crime, but the fact is that a starter home like this one would cost easily five times as much in some place like Las Playas, and that's if you could find one. The house lies to the north, the car is parked in the driveway. Close front door. Enter. You close the front door, enter car. The car is locked. Okay, unlock. Wait, X car. I want to see what type of car it is. It's a nicer car than one would expect in this neighborhood. A real eye catcher. Okay, X watch. Apparently it's 9:50, sugar. Okay, I'm already like 50 minutes late and I haven't even arrived at work yet. This is so typical. Okay, enter car. The car is locked. I thought I... Okay, unlock car. Unlocked. Enter car. Driving. Ah, the scenic Las Mesas. Man, this place is an absolute toilet. Soon you'll be able to afford to get the hell out of here, provided you can avoid making any more slip-ups on the job. As you cruise down the road, you notice freeway on-ramp approaching. Would you like to get on? I don't know. Is a freeway ramp get to work? Well, I'll assume it is. Let's see. Yes. You start to change lanes, but you notice that the ramp is out of service today. Some sort of maintenance work. But that's okay. There's another on-ramp less than a mile down the road from here. You keep driving. As you cruise down the road, you see the familiar Longent Technologies building approaching. Would you like to stop here? Heck yes, that's where I'm working, right? You are at the Longent Technologies parking lot. You are at an employee's entrance to the Longent Technologies building. There is a slot by the door next to a sign reading, insert ID card here. The car is parked in the parking lot. Well, okay. insert card in slot. You need to be holding an ID card before you can put it in something else. Okay, take ID from wallet. Removed. Actually, why don't I just drive off? Can I see if I can drive off? Enter car. Driveway. This is quite a CD. You get back in the behind the wheel and return to the house. No, that's not what I wanted to do. I just want to see if I could drive somewhere else. Okay, enter car. Down. I'm losing more time. And no, I would not like to get onto the highway. It turns out that ramp was blocked anyway. Some sort of maintenance work. Keep driving. You cruise down the road. See launch and technology building approaching. Would you like to stop here? Yes. Okay. Okay, Longin Technologies. You're an employee's entrance to Longin Technologies building. The slot by the door next to a sign reading insert ID card here. The card is parked. Insert card in a slot. Longin Technologies. You're standing in the hallway near the back entrance to Longin Technologies. The hallway leads north up to the reception area and south to the parking lot, while a door marked Matthew Bowman lies to the west. There is a cubicle here. It is marked simply Hadley. So let's go to... Let's check reception, north. Given the circumstances, wandering around Longin making small talk with programmers might not be the brightest idea you've had today. Well, west, we'll check Bowman's office. You peek into Bowman's office, it's empty. You attempt to go poking around, but some glance in your direction from down the hall put an end to that idea. Okay, X, watch. Apparently it's 10:25. Well, we got in before the hour and a half, so we're not too badly off. So, let's get back to work. East into the enter cubicle. You get into the cubicle. On the desk are a form, a pen, and a note. Well, let's read the note. The note reads, Hadley, sign this F209 and return to me immediately. MB, that must be that Bowman. Okay, this is great, okay? I mean, the game has all about me being late for work and driving in and landing an hour and a half late. Now I have to sign a form. I mean, okay. It's just, yeah. Why is this? Is there something going on? Okay. Is there something going on? Because it's kind of getting a little too mundane. It's a little like, okay, I'm just going to take all. Take all from the floor. Nothing seems to be available. Need to be more specific. Well, okay. Take pen. X form. The form is marked F209. It is filled out but not signed. Sign form. Someone passes by the cubicle as you sign the form. You look up just in time to see Bowman's door click shut. Take form, taken, X watch, 10:33, so it's not too bad. Exit cubicle, you are in Longin Technologies, you're standing in the hallway near the back engine of Longin Technologies, hallway leads north reception area, while a door marked Matthew Bowman lies to the west. Well, here we go. Let's see, just check my inventory. You've got a form, pen, ID cards, some keys, wallet, some clean clothing, gold watch. Okay, let's just... head into the Bowman, west. You walk into Bowman's office, smiling, hand him the signed form. Bowman asks, who the hell are you? The jig is up. You try to make a break for it, but Bowman calls for security and the guards wrestle you to the ground before you can make it back to the car. Press a key to continue. Location, jail. The anchorman chuckles. And now on the lighter side of the news, you've heard about the burglar who broke into a home and started stealing the family valuables, only to get so worn out from the exertion that he fell asleep and was caught when the homeowner returns? Here's one to top that. The burglar broke into East Las Mesas' home, killed the owner and stashed the body under the bed, put his possessions in the trunk of the car, and then fell asleep, woke up the next morning, went to the victim's office and tried to do the victim's job. An insanity defense is likely. And now here is the weather with J. Doubleday, or is it? You have been sentenced to life imprisonment. Written and programmed by Adam Cadre, tested by Alex R. Hoffer, version 1.0, tested by Liz Daly. Additional thanks to Elizabeth Sweeney, Jonathan Blask, and Jonathan Blacker. Would you like to restart, restore, saved game, or quit? Restart! Okay, in the bedroom... 905 by Adam Cadre. Bedroom in bed. This is an extremely spare with a dirty laundry scattered haphazardly all over the floor. Clean your clothing. Can be found in the dresser. Bathroom lies to the south while your door to the east leads to the living room. At the end of the table are a telephone, a watch, and some keys. The phone rings. X. Watch. Apparently it's 905. The titular 905. The phone rings. Okay. Get out of bed. You are out of bed. Look under bed. Under the bed, you see the corpse of the guy who owned this house. The phone rings. X. Corpse. You're not normally violent. You generally don't even carry a weapon on these jobs. But the guy lunged at you with a knife, and so you had no choice but to break his neck. Okay. Take off clothes. You take off the soiled clothing. The phone rings. South. You're in the bathroom. The phone in the bedroom rings. Take shower. You don't think you can take what you're wearing is waterproof. Okay. Take off to watch and drop to watch. Okay, it doesn't do this. Take off to watch. Drop. You take off the gold watch. Take shower. The phone in the bedroom rings. Take shower. Carrying your... Okay, drop. L. Drop the soiled clothings. Take shower. You step in the shower, turn on the water, and within a few minutes, you feel like a new man. Oh, new man. Oh, I'm very subtle there, Mr. Author. But in no time to dawdle, you hop back out again and dry off in record time. Okay, the phone in the bedroom rings. Take... Watch. Where the phone in the bedroom rings. Where watch. You put on the gold watch. Okay, north. Now, bedroom. It's still the bedroom. The phone rings. Okay, let's just pick up phone. I mean, I don't want them to get suspicious. Okay, pick up phone. Hadley, a shrill voice cried. Hadley, have you even refed? You knew that your presentation was 9 o'clock sharp, and now there's going to be enough left for you to bone fire once he's done. Get the hell down here now. Well, it looks like Hadley is a dead man. Okay, that's a terrible, terrible joke, and I've clearly been watching too much CSI. I apologize for that profusely. Click. Okay, what to do? Open dresser. Take clean clothing. Taken where? Clean clothing. You put on the clean clothing. East. Okay, X watch. It is now 9:30, so apparently the guy was ringing for leaving the phone ring for over 10 minutes, so I normally only leave for 3 rings or such, but clearly this guy's got patience. X front door. The front door has seen better days, and apparently, as we know before, it's locked. I'm going to skip getting that Pop-Tart, if you'll excuse me. Open front door. You open the front door. South driveway. There's quite clearly a seedy neighborhood, but it isn't really anywhere in Las Mesas Metro that isn't at least a little run down. House lies to the north. Car parks into the driveway. X boot. You have a quick look in the trunk. TV, stereo, and DVD player. Throw in the car, and it's a pretty impressive haul. Okay, so for a start, I'd like to thank the author for, I think the author is clearly American given the fact he refers to it as a trunk, but thanks that he allowed the input of examined boots, because I've been an American, that boot confusion was pretty apparent. So apparently I've got a golden watch, a TV, a stereo, DVD player, and a pretty nice car. Enter car. The car is locked. Unlock car. Oh, right, of course, the keys and wallet. North into the living room. Neatly as rage. There's no stereo, TV, and DVD. None of that. Well, we know why. Into the bedroom. Take wallet and keys. Wallet taken, keys taken. East. South. Unlock, living room, then driveway. Unlock car. The car is unlocked. Enter car. You know, it would make sense. A gold watch, an expensive car, and so no wonder he had the electronics. Enter car. Add the scenic Las Mesas. Man, this place is an absolute torrent. Soon you'll be able to get the hell out of here, provided you can avoid making any other slip-ups on the job. Oh, there's so much ambiguity. It's a freeway. No, but not locked to get on. It turns out the ramp was blocked anyway. Some sort of maintenance work. You cruise and see the familiar Longent Technologies building. Would you like to stop here? No. So the Longent Technologies building is in the rearview mirror. You keep driving. As you cruise down the road, you'll notice another freeway on-ramp approaching. Would you like to get on? Yes. You merge onto the freeway, crank up the radio, and vanish without a trace. You have left Las Mesas. Written and programmed by Adam Cadre, tested by Alex Hoffer, and so on and so forth. So, there we have it. That, my friends, is basically 905. As you can imagine, it's a great game for newbies and experienced players alike, because the newbies have a very simple interface and get pretty much a big reward in a few seconds without being attacked and killed by a random thief. Yeah, last time I kept getting killed by a thief, and this game I played as one. Interesting. But yes, it's great, and of course experienced players, because they just go along with the whole gist of it. I mean, that's the clever thing. In adventure games, you just take a character and go with it, and this kind of made you question that a bit. If you want to play it, it's actually available to free online. In fact, I'd recommend to anyone the Interactive Fiction Database, which is a gigantic database of huge amount of fiction, both interactive fiction, both independent and classic written. Yes, it does have the video game Zork on it, and also it allows you to, on the game's page, you'll have a variety of downloads for most games, including an option often to play it online, which I think is taken care of by a different website. It's just a very clever, and it's probably also one of the few games where you can actually decide to play through the game again from the beginning and just get a completely different experience, even though the game itself remains similar. Alex Caudray is kind of a bit of a, who created this, is a bit of a renaissance man. He's done a huge amount of things, from writing novels and writing webcomic scripts, and he's even, and of course, made a few other text adventures, including one called Phototopia, which is one I'm going to give it a shot to some of this time. As you can see, text adventures are pretty compelling. They're the way that you can actually have so much granular control over exactly what you're doing, and the way it can have such strong narratives or throw you for surprises. I mean, these days every first-person shooter and RPG tries to shoehorn you in a story, but they don't give you as much power or emphasis on the story as text adventure games do. And I mean, in that case, it was just a brilliant example in narrative. If you want to know more about text adventures, like I said, try the Interactive Fiction Database. That's another name for it. And also, there's also a documentary I heard of recently called Get Lamp, which I've got to take a look at one of these days. An interesting thing I've noticed is that text adventures recently, along with, of course, the surge of independent people making their own text adventures, which has gone on for quite a long time, but like in the last few years, there's been a weird resurgence of text adventures in webcomics. I mean, I've told you about webcomics before, like how many games are, like Penny Arcade is almost a cultural phenomenon based around a webcomic on video games. And then you've got RPG World or other games which are sort of a parody which was a case of parodying RPG games, and that was back like several years ago. So I mean, like, games and webcomics have always been sort of interlinked. People who grew up with video games tended to also get introduced to webcomics pretty quickly. But there's been recently, it was probably started by one webcomic, MS Paint Adventures, where a guy basically created a scenario showing a picture of a guy, usually imprisoned in a cell, and with a few items, and then asked the readers, what do they do? And then what happened was everyone replying to the thread would have their own suggestions for what the person should do. Like, you know, maybe he should grab an item, maybe he should throw something, maybe do something completely silly, like spin around and fall to the ground. And then the author would take these suggestions, follow like whichever ones they decide, and basically draw the next panel of the comic showing the person taking whatever action was suggested and the consequence of that action, and then would ask for it again. And this repeated and repeated and repeated, I mean, at an incredible speed, at a speed which over a period of time, like thousands of comics could generate up. MS Paint Adventures is a couple of classic ones that follow this format, starting with a lot of classics ones. Then there was Problem Sleuth. A more recent, hugely successful one has been Homestuck, which recently he actually wanted to make it into a video game and raised hundreds of thousands on Kickstarter. It was a huge phenomenon. And also the trend has been taken up by a huge amount of other people, such as Prequel Adventures, which is essentially about this cat in the world of Oblivion, which is also a video game So it's kind of funny that people are taking the interactive aspects of text adventures and applying them into webcomics, which is kind of amazing, because the whole advantage of the web is that there's communication, and comics are traditionally a one-way communication. So the idea of everyone can chime in and say what they want the character to do next, or they want the character to do this or do that, and it's just amazing that and by taking the format, and often these things often take cues from text adventure games or other sorts of games. So it's kind of a nice combination of the two. Well, I think we're just about out of time, and I don't really even have time for an ending theme. So I'll just compose one randomly in the few seconds we have left. This has been David Collins with Bitnode. I hope you enjoyed all the music. Except that I didn't play much music this episode, so I'm really, really sorry about that. But hope you enjoyed it anyway. Hooray! That was such a terrible, terrible theme. I really hope whoever's following me is able to entertain and enjoy you far, far to a greater extent than I have just done. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.